Radio crew, let's get to work. Hope everybody's well. This week's episode, we summarize the last two components from this summary episode. These are health and finance, and we are just summarizing up all of the financial, all of the health mistakes and solutions that were presented to us by our guests in episodes 1 to 10. So let us please welcome me. Big area of my life. I'm a big believer in health before pretty much anything else, because if you don't have health, then you really don't have much to work with at all. So there were a few key mistakes talking to some medical doctors and some chiropractors and even some nurses that I've bored a little bit in, but the nurse episode will come out in a few weeks' time, but I think I've just stolen a couple of little things here. So let's talk a little bit about what the key messages were and what the solutions, what the mistakes were and what the solutions were in regards to health. Straight from my notes, number one I've got here was thinking too much or not enough about your health. In life so far, I'm 34, so I'm pretty young, and I've already seen a huge diversity in the way that people look at their health. Okay, so what do I mean by that? I mean that some people seem not bothered at all when they have a wide variety of symptoms or a wide variety of health issues that are clearly affecting them negatively, or, you know, might be affecting the way they walk or the way they talk, or, you know, they're in pain in some part of their body. So, and then those same people may not seek help when they need it. You know, and so this is an example of not thinking enough about your health. And I think that, you know, if you're not thinking enough about your health, then you're probably going to miss something if it becomes more serious, or even if it is serious. And if it is serious and you miss it, then obviously the consequences can be severe. So, you know, the solution there is to actually schedule time to get a check-in or get a checkup. And I think that that's a really easy thing to do in today's age. Like, you can make a phone call. I don't care that, like, these people that say that, oh, like, it's so hard to get into a doctor. Like you can see a medical doctor most of the time within 2 weeks. But the more that you delay, and as those months tick by, you know, something that could be quite small could become serious, or you could be doing more damage to yourself without getting checked up. So if you're one of those people making the mistake of not thinking enough about your health, just realize that you've only got one body. And so if you've only got one body and you damage it to a point where it's no longer going to be effective to do anything, then your quality of life is going to be reduced significantly. So take the time for your health if you're making the mistake of not thinking enough about it. In terms of thinking too much about it, which is the opposite issue, I've certainly fallen into this category myself a bunch of times. I think that the solution, really, if you're an overthinker when it comes to your health, is to start throwing away your health monitors and stop diagnosing yourself online. Stop scouring Google and scouring publications looking for evidence of what you could have. Here's the reality. I'm not a doctor, but I can tell you, having been somebody who was thinking a lot about their health for quite some time, that the more you search for a list of symptoms that you're experiencing, the more those symptoms are going to cross over across so many illnesses. So if you're getting headaches, you could literally be dehydrated, or you could have a brain tumor. So obviously, if you think that way, then your anxiety and the stress that you have around your health could actually make you sicker. And there's a lot of evidence to show that anxiety causes microstress or major stress, depending on the level of anxiety, which then can lead to a state of inflammation and disease. I think that if you're one of these people, what do I mean by health monitors? Get rid of the blood pressure monitor. If you're checking it all the time, it's not changing a whole heap. It's only going to fluctuate 5 Hg's for systolic or diastolic at any one point. If it's high, it's going to be high all the time. A solution to this is to address the cause, you know, not the symptom. So, you know, if you're experiencing high blood pressure, there's a cause for that. And you need to think about what that is and actually go and see, professional guidance around what the cause could be. And it could be your diet. You know, you could address the diet and then you don't have to be anxious about your health anymore because your blood pressure will reduce naturally. Okay, you might need to go on medication. Okay, so you go on some medication to reduce your blood pressure. Then you're not worrying, you're not diagnosing yourself with something else because there's lots of things that can cause high blood pressure. The other solution there is to actually prevent it from happening in the first place. And that's a really simple thing to do with it when it comes to health. So if you're listening to this, maybe you're a bit overweight, maybe you're just struggling to get on top of your health, start sleeping a little bit more. If you can, go to bed a little bit earlier. Start eating well, eat whole foods. Start moving a little bit more. You know, it's the old thing, sleep more, eat well, move right. And those things are so basic, but at the same time, so easily neglected. So this is about preventing things from happening in the first place. And I think if you're always diagnosing yourself online and you're always overthinking your health, then one way to stop doing that is to put all of that energy into sleeping, eating, and moving right, and you're probably not going to have too much to think about because your body's going to feel great. So that would be my solution, or the solution that was suggested by the guests around thinking too much about your health. Another slip in there would be to take the stress off the nervous system as well. So we spoke to Dr. Brandon Sills, a chiropractor and applied kinesiologist, and the need to take the stress off the nervous system. So other medical modalities, you know, we spoke about why they're called alternative, and I really don't like that word alternative, but there are medical modalities that are not mainstream, not GPs, you know, not the medical model that may be better suited to your cause. And for example, if you have a muscle or nerve issue, a chiropractor or a physiotherapist or an osteopath might be better suited to have the toolbox to get you to a point where they can address the cause rather than the medical model. So I think what I'm saying here is don't switch off to those modalities just because they're not mainstream. Have a look into them. Do a bit of research for yourself. And when I mean research, I don't just mean a Google search. I mean actually looking at going to PubMed and looking at some publications. See the benefits of those medical modalities. So take the stress off the nervous system is one great way that you can prevent a range of different illnesses from starting in the first place. So you can engage a chiropractor would be a solution in order to take the stress off the nervous system. Rightio, moving on to finance as our last series of mistakes and solutions. The big one here for a lot of people as a mistake in finance is not having a budget. Solution, have a budget. Okay, so how do you have a budget? Make a list of everything that you spend money on and start grouping them. Group those things up. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's bills related to your cars or vehicles, boats. Maybe it's your mortgage as well. You know, just start grouping up the payments. Work out how much you need to take out of your pay each and every week or fortnight. Or, you know, if you're getting paid more sporadically, how much money do you need to put aside into an account or just aside somewhere? Maybe take the cash out, put it somewhere safe for bills throughout the year. Maybe it's rates, maybe it's water, maybe it's land tax. You know, having this money put out in advance is going to take a lot of stress off your budget and a lot of stress off, general stress off your life if you've got your money working for you. Okay. So, again, part of having a budget, part of that solution is to audit and reduce. So, you know, make the audit, but then reduce, cut, or swap it out. So, if there's an item there that you can swap it out for something cheaper, that's not going to be too much of a drop in quality. Or if there's a reduction that you can make somewhere, whether it be a Netflix subscription or a coffee here or there, maybe you're having a coffee every day, you know, can you afford to have that coffee every day? You know, I like the way of thinking around how can I afford something rather than I can't. So if you're thinking about a coffee and you say to yourself, I can't afford the coffee, well, that's okay. That will be effective to an extent, but a better way to think about it might be how can I afford this coffee? And it might be, as I said, swap something else out. So, you know, if you're having takeaways as well, you know, maybe swap that out for the coffee or swap the coffee for the takeaway, but maybe don't do both. And, you know, you could probably then ask yourself, well, how can I afford to do both? And we'll get to that. But we're just talking about getting back control of your finances initially. Again, all of these mistakes and advice were advisor's solutions came from a qualified financial advisor. And Jared Trank gave us a lot of this information that we're going through. So one of the other big ones, guys, is not reviewing. So one of the mistakes is not reviewing insurance. I've been guilty of this as well. This is something that does take a little bit of effort. You need to actually phone your insurance provider. And not only that, phone a bunch of others. Tell them you need to look at the documents that you have. Have a look at, you know, what they are offering. For example, car insurance. Does your car insurance currently have windscreen, like free windscreen replacement? If it does, cool. Does the next one that's a little bit cheaper also have it? Because if you're going to go with that and you're living, I don't know, out in the sticks where you're driving on dirt roads all the time, then you probably want it, you probably want that free windscreen replacement because you're going to be out of pocket a lot. So thinking a bit about what's offered is a solution when it comes to reviewing insurance. But the mistake really is not reviewing it at all. So if you're just like letting it tick over, they're going to creep the prices up on you and you could be paying a lot more than what you potentially need to. And you could be saving hundreds of dollars a year, which could go to something that is going to be more productive for you and your family. So review your insurance, review your house insurance, review your car insurance, review your boat insurance if you haven't, review your life insurance, review any insurance that you have because there are it is tight. There's competition for all of these things. I will say this as a personal note that when I've done this, I've actually quoted things from other insurance companies to other insurance companies in order to make the comparison. So I might say something like, hey, such and such is offering me this. Can you guys do better? I really like working with you guys. So that's if it's, you know, the current one that you're using. If you're wanting to start fresh and there's two new providers that are offering something better, you can, like there's no harm in playing them off each other. You know, you can say, hey, like what, when I say playing them off, I mean just being upfront and going, hey, these guys are offering X, you're offering Y. Can you one up? And if you can, I'll go with you. And if they can, I'm going to go with them. You know, at the end of the day, they want your business. So just think a little bit about your insurance moving forward and review it is the solution. Another mistake is not spending without consideration or planning. So this is that impulse spending, that time when you go into shop, you see something shiny that you like and you go, I'm having it and I'm having it now. We all know people in this bracket. Sometimes we envy them because it looks like they've got a lot of disposable income. They roll into a store or shop and they just buy whatever they feel like. And my gut feeling is that when they get home and start thinking about this a little bit more, I reckon that some of that money might have been needed elsewhere. And so if the money's needed elsewhere and you're spending things impulsively, particularly if it's something critical like maybe your rent or your mortgage or, you know, maybe, dare I say it, like something to do with your kid's sport or something like that, then, you know, it's just not worth it. So I think the solution there is to actually think, do I need this or do I want this? And if it's just a want, maybe you need to plan a little bit more around how you can get it. You know, it comes back to your budget. Can we swap something out, cut it, reduce it, start putting some money aside for this want? But maybe just don't buy that want through impulse is the solution there. Keep an eye on luxury items that you need, want, that are nice to have, you know, and that's just back to your budget. So, you know, those luxury items, whether it be, you know, that $200 pair of shoes. And I think it comes back down to basic maths. So if you think about a pair of shoes that's $10, okay, and a pair of shoes that's $100, and you do a blatant comparison, so a raw comparison with those two pairs of shoes. Okay, so the $100 shoes are 10 times the price. The question is, are they 10 times as good or are they only 3 times as good? Even if they're 5 times as good, is the $100 worth the cost? Because if it's 10x the money, is it 10x the quality? And so making these comparisons in your head, actually thinking a little bit about things before you purchase, you know, make a comparison. A pharmacy is a great example. When you go into a pharmacy, how often do they try and sell you a generic brand of treatment or drug? Quite frequently, right? Because it's their own brand, so they make more money off it. Well, the question is, look at the ingredients. Are they the same? Are the ingredients the same quality? How much more is the generic brand or less than the actual brand? How much less is the generic brand to the well-known brand? Are the qualities the same? If it's just a bit less, you know, is the quality significantly reduced? Again, making these comparisons is the solution. and not just impulsively going, oh, it's the generic brand and it's way cheap. It's cheaper, so it must be better. Is it must be better, or is the quality maybe a little bit reduced? Maybe you're thinking, well, I'm not a pharmacist. How the hell am I going to know if the quality is any good? Well, when it comes to medication, I think that it's pretty easy. Like, if there's a significant difference in price, and this is one thing that you can do, is just look at the names of the ingredients. Are they in the same amounts? So are the ratios of those ingredients similar or the same? If they are, then and it's a lot cheaper, then maybe go for it. Because it's pretty hard for the average person to look at, you know, the quality of those ingredients right down to, you know, where was it sourced, for example. But you can do those comparisons where, you know, are the ratios the same? You could even ask the pharmacist, are these the same? So this is an example of comparing the quality of an item and, you know, how much extra or less it is. One of the big mistakes, guys, that Jared spoke about as well is not having a surplus cash reserve. So what are we talking about when we're talking about a cash reserve? We're talking about having $10,000 or $20,000 away in an account in case something happens where you need it. Okay. Now, before you think that maybe you can't save 10 to 20 grand, I think that start off with 1,000, go to five, you know, 5 grand. If your hot water cylinder breaks down or your car needs a surprise service or something's leaking and you need it fixed, having 5 grand sitting around is going to come in handy and will take the stress off you when that situation occurs. Not having a surplus cash reserve is a recipe for disaster. Most places will give you 7 to 14 days to pay the bill once the work's been done. So 7 to 14 days to come up with 3 to 5 grand for a car service or a plumbing work that needs doing or a brand new hot water cylinder or some new component for something that you have, you know, I think is going to take longer than 14 days for you to save that amount. So you need to get a head start. Save 1,000, then aim for 5, with the vision of saving 10 to 20 as an ultimate cash reserve, just in case something happens. Keep an eye on Netflix subscriptions. The mistake there is to let them keep taking money out without tracking the repayments. So you need to, the solution, you must track the repayments. You must be aware of when they come out of your account, and cancel those subscriptions if you're not using them is a quick and easy fix to that problem. On finance, this is just a personal thing as well. I think that a lot of these mistakes and advices are fantastic. What I would say, though, is there's a big focus on reducing, cutting out, and swapping, which I think all have their place. But I think another really important one that served me really well in finance is having a way to make more money. So whether that be starting a second job, whether that be creating a side hustle, whether that be selling some kind of service or a product that you have available. Before you say you have nothing available, most people have something that can be hired out or used in some degree. So write a list of everything that you have. What can you do? How can you use what you have to make you some money? Everybody's in a different situation, but we all have something. We all have something. What about a lawnmower? Does somebody need to you to go and mow their lawn? You know, quick $50. Hey, look, I'll do the front. You know, or maybe just be observant. Okay, you're hiring a mowing service to come and do your garden. Hey, I'll do it for a fraction of the price. Look them up. Look up the guy. How often are they there? Oh, you know, they're going to that place for an hour a day. Okay, if they're going there for an hour a day, how much is that worth? Let me call up the business. How much do you guys charge for gardening for a day? Hey, go and offer them. Can I help you out? I'll do it at a fraction of the price. So, you know, I'm just giving an example. Having another way to make money. Maybe your hobby's growing mushrooms, and I don't mean the hallucinogenic mushrooms. Maybe you do some really good shiitakes. Okay, if you've got some really good shiitakes and that's your thing, maybe you can sell them. I mean, they're a niche item. Go to those farmers markets. Maybe you can sell your mushrooms there. What do you need to do to sell a product there? So there's always other ways to make money. Get a second job. What are you good at? Maybe you've got another qualification that you had before you started work in what you're doing. Maybe you can use it to generate some money tutoring or coaching. But having another cash income source is obviously going to make all of the above. So the budget, the consideration of spending, the luxury items, grouping the items, reviewing your insurance. It's going to make all of that, having a cash reserve, it's going to make all of that more manageable and easier to obtain. So there you go, guys. Quite a fair bit of information. It is a bit of an information dump, but the point is that these are areas in all of our lives, and the more information that we can extract out of highly qualified individuals and that I can present to you guys and any insights that I can give you along the way, I think is going to hopefully help one of you guys or one of you gals out there. And if that's the case and you feel the same way, then please don't forget to subscribe to the channel on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever it is that you listen to.
Also, guys, don't forget to head over to Instagram and follow us at Mistake Mastery to keep up to date with all of the mistakes and solutions as they become available from our weekly episodes. Now, a quick shout out to the Grade 8 boys that also continue to inspire content. Thank you again for that, gentlemen. And crew, next week we are back with our usual format. We're going to have a fantastic guest sharing us all the insides, all the ins and outs of becoming successful on YouTube. This particular person has a fantastic YouTube presence and is doing quite well for himself indeed on the platform. So looking forward to that as well. In the meantime, crew, have a fantastic morning, afternoon, evening, whatever it is in your time zone. Take care.